Today we're going to continue our series on the body is the temple. This is a part three. We've been doing a little bit of discussion and teaching on the temple, the old tabernacle, when the Israelites would come in and worship God. There were three parts to that tabernacle. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the holiest of holies. And we're showing you how this is the way that man was created. We're actually created in God's image. And we also are a three-part being. We have a mind, a will, and emotion, which is called the soul. We have a body, and we have a spirit also. The spirit is the real you. Now, what we look at in contrast with this is, I like to notice this one thing about the holiest of holies. Notice that word is plural. Holiest of holies. More than one. See, because God is God the Father. He's God the Son. And he's God the Holy Spirit. And he's everything he's done throughout all of creation. He's made so many things to show his image and what he is like, so that man can get a hold of it and grasp it. When he created man, you look at the finger. He created it three joints, but it's one finger. When you look at the egg, it has the outer shell, it has the yolk, and it has the center. So we have three parts of the egg. There's so many analogies that God just did this so he could show us something. Now, we have to ask, all these things that God has been doing and all the word that he has given us in the Old Testament, why has he given us so many examples for? Why? Everything God has done, is doing, and will ever do is his effort to get mankind to know him better. He wants his creation to know him. That's what God's desire is. He created us, and he wants his creation to know him. Well, here's how we know him. We know him through the scripture. In fact, let's look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Notice that scripture gives you comfort, and it also gives us patience. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 10 and 11. And don't grumble as some of them did. Now, I'm going to stop here for just a second. Who do you suppose them? Who do you think them are? I know that's not the correct terminology, but who do you think them are here? Who is this referring to, this them? It's referring to the Israelites, as God gave them as our example, and to show us a good example of what not to do. What is one of the main examples he's telling us here of what not to do? Grumble. Don't grumble. Don't grumble. Let's continue on with the scripture. And then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. These things happened to them as examples for us. Understand, God allowed that to happen so we could learn. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. We have to know this is the last days, and we are in the last of the last days. When is he returning? I don't know. He hasn't told me. But that's okay. I know it's much closer than when I first believed. Amen. Same with you. Whenever you started believing, I don't care if you started believing yesterday, it's closer now than when you first believed yesterday. His return is imminent. It is going to happen because he said it. Now, when God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Can I explain it? No. Do I have to? No. I just have to believe it. That's all my part is. Just believe. Just believe. Now, when you become born again, it is your spirit that becomes new. that new birth cannot sin. Let's look at Scripture to back this up. John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Jesus answered, talking to Nicodemus, and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again." Now, of course, Nicodemus is confused by all this. He's asking, can a man enter back into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus is trying to explain to him, I'm not talking about a physical rebirth. I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. So, and I've heard other denominations get upset with this term of born again and saying, well, that's just one of those terms that that other denomination uses. Well, I'm sorry that Jesus is the one that coined that phrase. So we listen to Jesus. If somebody else got it right too and repeated it, well, that's okay. I'm not mad at them. I'm happy for them. But I'm not going to give it to them because Jesus is the one that originated this. It's his word that we must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, let's follow that up with 1 John 3:9. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. His being God's seed remain in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, this gives a little contradiction to life experiences. Because we all know, most of us in this room are born again. We have received Jesus as our Savior. But most of us can also testify, well, have you sinned since the day you received salvation? Yeah, I have sinned. You know, I wished I could say I was perfect and haven't sinned. But we read the Word of God here just said that if you're born of God, you can't sin. Well, now, how does that work out? I don't understand. Well, let me explain that to you. We're talking about your spirit man, which is born again, cannot sin, and is perfect as the day it'll be in heaven. It's not going to be any more perfect when it gets to heaven because it is birthed of God and it is birthed of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit dwells in us now. So understand, when we're talking about not sinning, that spirit man can't sin. Now, he is enshelled by the body and by the soul, and then inside is our spirit. So for him to come out, he has to express himself through the mind, will, and emotions, which is a soul, and then he expresses himself through the body. And that's the way that works. So understand that it's the body and the soul that's really doing the sinning. It's not our spirit. And what you listen to determines if you sin or not. If you listen to the world, you'll be carnally minded and you will sin. If you listen to the Word of God, if you listen to the Lord's voice, then you will be spiritually minded, and that is life and peace. So we have to understand here. Look what I've written here. How do I know the difference between the voice of the Spirit and the voice of my soul? Many times this is the question that Christians ask. You know, I don't know if this is God telling me to do this or if it's just me telling me to do this. How do you know? Here's how we know. The Spirit always lines up with the Word of God because He wrote it. He bears witness with my spirit. Yep, that's what I said. That's exactly what I said. That's in the Word of God. That's what I said. That's right. So if I have some question about what I'm thinking, is this from God or is this just myself? Let me find Scripture that backs up what I'm thinking. If I can't find Scripture for it, then it's probably just me. So I need to search the Word and know the Word. In fact, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 19 through 21. we have also the most sure word of the prophets, to which you do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Understanding this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. A lot of people will say, well, that's, you know, there's mistakes in the Bible, you know, because men wrote it. No, there's not mistakes in the Bible. There's mistakes in our understanding of what the Bible is saying, but the Bible always backs up itself. There are no mistakes in it. Look at verse 21. For the prophecy did not come in times past by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit wrote the word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Again, when I go back to God, we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit does not speak of himself, but he repeats everything that Jesus has said, because Jesus is the Word. We can find scriptures in John chapter 16, verse 13, John chapter 14, verse 26. We see that in John chapter 1, verse 14, how that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And the Holy Spirit just, he didn't speak about himself. He just tells everything that Jesus did. He just repeats what he saw and what he hears. Look what I've written here. In order to recognize his voice, you must become intimate with his word and believe what it says. You have to know his word and know his voice. Let me give you just a small example of this. I don't know if you've ever received emails from somebody that was supposedly somebody you knew, but you could tell by the language in it that wasn't that person. You could just tell by the way they spoke in the email, like, that's not them, because they don't talk like that. Sometimes we get emails from people who are in Africa, and we can tell right off that they're trying to put themselves off as an American, and their grammar's all off. You know, so we know, okay, that's not even how an American would say that. That's not the word, the way to say it. So the reason we can do that is because we recognize the person they're trying to imitate. The same thing is with the enemy. He will come as an angel of light and try to deceive you. How will you know the difference? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How do you know the difference between the enemy, yourself, and God? It's very simple. The Word. The Word of God makes the difference, because you'll know by the speech. Well, that don't line up with the Word of God. Jesus is never going to tell you to do anything that's contradictory to the Word. So automatically you know, well, if this contradictory to the Word, this ain't from God. This is either me or the devil. Either one, I ain't having a part of it. And we have to put it off to the side. Now, I want us to look at the front of the bulletin. This just is a representation trying to help us understand that we have the body surrounds the soul, and the spirit is down deep inside of us. Now, if you'll notice at the very bottom, you'll see five what we're calling gates here. Five gates. We have the eye gate, the nose gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate, and the feel gate, which covers our five senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Now, why is this important? Because hearing, let's look at Romans 10:17. I wrote it down for us. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes into our spirit through us hearing the word of God. So it can come into one of our gates, either our eye gates, we read it, or our ear gates, we hear it. Now, it can come in through touch, can it? Because people who are blind read Braille. But it comes through one of those gates to get into our, first now, it gets into our mind. Have you ever met people? David and I were talking about this before the service. Have you ever met anybody that had it in their head but didn't have it in their heart? They could quote scripture. Man, they can quote scripture, but they can't live it. You've met people like that, right? Well, that's simply because it got in past the physical body, the ear gates, the eye gates, and it got into the mind, into the soul, the mind, will, and the emotions, but it never got down into their spirit. They never allowed it to get down into their spirit to where they know that they know that they know. Have you ever have anybody ask you, well, how do you know? Well, I just know. Well, how do you know? I know that I know that I know. You know, I don't know, but I know. Well, that's when it gets down in your spirit. You know, it's like nobody can talk you out of it because you know. Is there a God? How can I talk you out of that? You just know there is. Are you saved? Yes. How can I talk you out of it? I can't. Because why? I didn't give it to you, so I can't take it from you. Because you just know it sank down into your spirit. Your spirit became born again, and now you know that you are. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. For we also received the good news just as they did. Again, who are they? I always like to ask that question, you know, because people will quote them all the time. Have you ever had anybody quote them? Well, you know what they say. No, I don't even know who they are, let alone what they say. So I don't want to believe what they say. They will get you in some trouble, especially you start going and quoting them. But here the Bible is referring to in Hebrews, they, as again, back to the children of Israel. And listen to what it said here. But the message they heard did not profit them, since they did not mix it with faith as those who comprehended it. Now notice that the word faith, the word must be believed and acted upon. We talked about the full armor of God last 2 weeks ago. And we talked about the sword of the Spirit. That sword of the Spirit is like any weapon. It can cut both ways. A weapon, a sword, a knife, a gun, can be used for two things. It can be used for protection, or it can be used for attacking. And see, the Word of God will attack the sinful nature of us, but it also is our protection from attacks of the enemy. It's the Word of God. Verse 3. Now we who have believed enter that rest. As for the others, it's just as God has said. So I wrote in an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the foundation of the world. Now, stop there for a second and think about that. The works have been finished since the foundation of the world. Even before the children of Israel heard it, even before Jesus Christ went on the cross, his works were already established before the foundations of the world. God knew it was going to happen. God planned it all and happened. Nobody killed Jesus. Jesus gave up his life for us as a perpetuation for our sins. And this was all a part of God's plan. But what the problem we face here is, even though they heard the word of God, it didn't profit them. It didn't do them any good because it wasn't mixed with faith. Now we go to Hebrews 3:19. So we see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief will keep the word from entering down into your heart. It'll keep it from entering down into your spirit. So we need to realize that unbelief is usually centered around an emotion. Well, I just don't feel like that's true. It don't matter what you feel. You know, it doesn't. It matters what the Word of God says. Everything the devil tries to do, he comes to it and attacks the Word. When we first were introduced to the devil in Genesis chapter 1, what was he doing? Attacking the Word. He asked Eve, did God really say? Is that really what he meant? You see, he's attacking the Word. The Word is so important. Let's look at what I've written. Our spirit is born again, but our mind, our will, and our emotions are not. They must be changed or renewed. How? By the Word of God. This word changed, anytime you read in the Bible, in the New Testament, anytime you see the word repent, it comes from a Greek word, two Greek words that are put together, meta and noia, changed mind. That's all repentance really means, is to change your mind. Because you're thinking wrong. You're thinking wrong one way. You're thinking like the world. And now you have to change your mind and start thinking like the Word. And that is what repentance is about. Our mind, will, and emotions are not saved, and they have to be changed. They have to be renewed. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's stop and hang around here for just a moment. Your mind chooses which it's going to follow. Are you going to be conformed to this world, or are you going to be transformed by God's Word? Your mind makes that choice. It's a matter of our will to choose what we're going to believe. Let's continue with that where we left off. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of you want to know what the will of God is for you? You need to know what God's will is for you every day, don't you? How are you going to know that? By having your mind transformed, renewed through the Word. So, if you want to know God's will, God's Word is God's will. Romans 8, 9 and 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. This word quicken, it means to make alive, resurrect. But the resurrection doesn't have to be just on resurrection morning. Every day you put your feet on the ground, you're rising up out of that bed. That's a resurrection in itself, isn't it? What are we believing? What are we doing? The Spirit of God that dwells in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's good news. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 27. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Cleanse your thoughts. This is what I'm saying here to you. Cleanse your thoughts. Get rid of that stinking thinking. Can you testify? Can anybody say an amen? Have you ever had stinking thinking? I have to confess, I have. I'm just not thinking right. Well, how am I going to get rid of? I keep thinking about that negative thing, about that negative report, about what the doctor said, about how my finances are, about what the world is doing. That's stinking thinking. I got to get my mind off of that. So I'll say, okay, I'm not going to think about it anymore. Okay, don't think about it. And pretty soon I'm thinking about it again. Why? Because I haven't renewed my mind. I got to hit reset. So I need to get into the Word and see what the Word has to say about my situation, about what the Word has to say. And then I can renew my mind. My mind is washed by the water of the Word. Verse 27. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, when this is talking about the church coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, a lot of us want to say, well, does that mean if I have some spots on my skin, I got a birthmark, so that am I discounted? Count me out? No, that's not talking about spot on your physical body. Wrinkles, that's not talking about wrinkles on your face or wrinkles on your skin. That's not what he's saying. I'm coming back for only a church that don't have wrinkles, a young church. No, that's not what he's saying. Here's the way I like to look at it. Spots are blemishes. Spots are things that cause your eyes to draw attention to that. What are your eyes focusing on? When you look in the mirror, you'll see every flaw in your face. Everybody else is saying, oh, you look so good, and you're, right. Well, no, I don't. You know, because you're looking in the mirror and saying, I see that spot right here. Where is it? I got one here or here. I don't remember which side. It's in the mirror, so it's backwards. So we're always thinking, yeah, but, you know, that's, and we criticize ourselves so much because we don't realize who we are in Christ. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. This is the point of the wrinkles. If it's real to you, it's never old to you. That's the way it has to be. You don't have to get, when you hear preach, oh, I've heard that 1,000 times. Yeah, the Lord's coming back. I know, I've heard that since I was just this high. It's become old to you. It's become old to you. Your faith has gotten wrinkles in it. It's time to get the Word of God out and do some ironing, getting things straightened out again. And look what I've written here. This is important. The only way we can be holy and without blemish is to be in Him. John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that stays in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Notice the power of his word. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you want, and I'll do it. Let me ask you a question. Have anybody found that to be true in your life? That no matter what you ask, whatever you will, it happens? Have you found that to be true in your life? I have to tell you, I haven't. I've asked for a lot of things that I wanted and didn't get. Well, what's the contrast here? What's the problem? The problem's not with the word. The problem's with Mark. Read what I've written. When my will lines up with his will, I can receive what I ask. His word is his will. Now, I want to stick around on the word for a second and help you understand. We know that Psalms chapter 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's power in your words. God created us after his image. We are the only creation that he made that has the capability of speaking and results happen from it. In fact, even the devil can't do what we did. The devil, he was up in heaven, Satan, Lucifer, he was up in heaven saying, I will become like Most High God. I will exalt myself above his throne. I will do this. Did it happen for him? No, it didn't. But man, God created in his image, and when he speaks, he either speaks death or he speaks life. If you speak the word, you're speaking life. If you speak the world, you're speaking death. If you speak the carnal, natural things, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we have to allow our spirit man, who knows the word, to speak through us. And not our carnal nature, our mind, our will, and our emotions to speak through us. I'm going to read that one more time. When my will lines up with his will, I can receive what I ask. His word is his will. Now, this last scripture today, this is in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. This comes when Jesus has just cursed a fig tree. And they passed it on by, and the next day when they came back, the fig tree had withered from the roots up. And the disciples were astounded and stunned at this. Wow, look, you just spoke to that tree and it dried up. Wow, they're just amazed. Let's look at what Jesus said. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, remove thyself and cast thyself into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says shall be done, whatsoever he says shall be done unto him. Therefore, I say to you that everything that you ask for, praying, believe that you shall receive it, and you shall have it. Do you wonder why sometimes your prayers don't get answered? Are you believing what the word says? Are you believing what the world says? Are you believing the doctor's report over the word of God? Doctors are good people. They try to help us. But they're not the great physician. They're not the word. They're not God. So when you get a report that contradicts the word, you're going to have to make a choice of, what am I going to listen to? What am I going to believe? I choose to believe. Let's read the last thing I've written for us. Your mind must be subdued by faith in his word. Your body follows what you are believing. That is important. That is huge. Your body follows what you are believing. If you believe that the word of God tells you you should have health, you'll have health. But if you believe, well, we all get sick, you will get sick. I promise you, it'll come on you. You don't have to look for it. It'll come find you. You have to stand in faith against the attacks of the enemy. You have to stand upon the word of God and say, no, devil, I'm not putting up with this. Sometimes you have to tell your body, look, body, get in line with the word. By his stripes, I am healed. Get in line with the word. I am healed. I talk to myself. I tell myself, I have to tell myself what to do. My flesh don't want to do it sometimes. Did your flesh want to get out of bed this morning? Some of you already told me no. You know, your flesh didn't want to get up this morning. But you told it, get on up, get on to church. So you can tell your body what to do. You can make it obey. But you have the power of life and death in your tongue, and what you choose to speak, the word of God or the world, makes the difference. One more time. Your body follows what you are believing. I ask you today, what are you believing? Choose to believe the word. His word cannot lie. It is the truth. Believe his word. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that your word is truth, that there is no shadow of turning with you, that your promises are yes and amen, not no, not maybe, but this yes and amen, that we can have what your word says we can have, and we're not going to let the devil talk us out of it. We're not going to let man talk us out of it. We're not going to let the world talk us out of it, because greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. And Father, I just praise you for your word. I thank you for now, as we sowed it into our hearts, that it'll bring forth a great harvest. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.